Hello? Yeah. Well, I thought the most interesting result of the Wisconsin primary was the stock market.
Well, you know, I went back, Mr. President, to look at the last three primaries to see whether the same thing had happened, because I wondered if maybe they thought every time the Democrats took a licking amongst themselves, the market went up. It went down, and the Wednesdays following each of the other primaries, but sure as hell went up today. And
it finally got up to the April 71. I didn't realize it was that high in April 71. I never thought it reached 954.
I think, as I recall, Mr. President, it was 950.1 or something very...
That's the highest in that period.
Yes, and it had been up higher in late 68. I got the figures once when you asked me about it.
Yeah, no, in late 68 it reached 995.
Right. And then it went back up in the spring of 71, and it, but 954 is a good, healthy figure. It was a good volume today, 22 million shares.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I don't...
I think this thing's moving about right.
Well, what you said in jest, I take rather seriously. I think that people on the street may figure that that what happened in Wisconsin yesterday is signaling the end of the Democratic Party, and that would be a very bullish sign to people on Wall Street.
Well, you think they think that?
Well, the end of the party. Well, I don't. That's overstating it.
Yeah.
They took a hell of a body blow yesterday. But
reaction you get the rest of the day?
Yes, sir. Hi. Golly, I should say, the press are...
Where are you here?
Press are buzzing. They just figure the Democrats are ripped right up the middle, that McGovern has astounded them, that he's a real candidate.
They really think he is? A chance to be the nominee?
Well, a chance to be enough of a power to make it a real... certainly to keep anybody else...
They think he's going to stay in.
Yes, McGovern.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and prevent anyone else from getting nominated, because what will happen, for example, in Massachusetts, I heard today the people up there who 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, were telling me that Muskie had the state absolutely locked, are now saying McGovern will win the state because the liberal constituency will turn out to vote for him, and that's a big block of delegates, and he's bound to get enough to keep, you know, with those that Wallace will get and others will pick up, he's bound to get enough to keep the Democratic Convention wide open. And he's also...
It's not good.
To keep it wide open? I'd rather see it open than get resolved much rather see them come out of Miami. Regardless of their nominee, I'd rather see them go into Miami fighting and come out divided. And, a strong block by McGovern, I think, just guarantees it. I really do.
Because his people will never surrender.
His people are the McCarthy types. That's the same kind of a...
Are they pretty much?
Yes, sir. Hardcore. Well, you can see them on television last night. You see them every place McGovern is.
Are they sort of that kind of...
Yeah, long hair, crazy looking, a lot of kids. And they're the ones that, you know, they're going to go out and beat the system. And McGovern's their guy now. The Lindsay people will rally behind him, whatever constituency Lindsay had, which is not a hell of a lot. Although, I must say, that might turn New York behind McGovern. Now, McGovern looked strong in New York until Lindsay announced. So if he started to pick up delegations like Massachusetts and New York, with the 100 or so we've got now, he could...
You think he might be nominated?
No, I don't think so.
You don't? Why would he?
Just can't conceive
the arts in Massachusetts.
It's one of those things that, of course, this year in politics, I guess you could say anything could happen. If any, as Gammon said to me, if any front runner, he never would have thought it was possible for any front runner to decline as fast as Muskie did. So I suppose if that was
the only one that did it, similar story is like with Frank George.
Well, but he was never that far up front.
I guess you're right.
Oh no. God, he didn't have the three-quarters of the Republican politicians in the country endorsing him before 1960.
All he had to do was go.
Oh, sure. He just, no, he wasn't. I never thought he was a frontrunner. I thought he was kind of a flash in the pan, always. But, no, I don't think there's a parallel. I think Muskie's decline is really unprecedented. And so if in a year that can happen to Muskie, hell, I suppose. suppose they could nominate McGovern.
Well, that's wishful, maybe wishful thinking.
But he could, if he, it's true, if he started picking up some of those big states.
Pick up the big states, John. Often I just deny it.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
They go with the big states.
God, he'd be a jackass. I can't see them.
Well, he's a total ass.
Well, I can't see them doing as well, Mr. President, as Go would have did in 64. I just can't imagine him drawing a broadly based constituent.
Well, he isn't going to draw any reasonable people.
No.
He just can't. Because, now Humphrey would. Humphrey is going to be a fellow that shifting out. So Humphrey is. I think we finally helped a bit on him. He just jacked around. How do you feel? What did this do to him?
Well, I think it hurt him because I think he would have come out of here the strong front runner had he won it. And he hasn't gotten that advantage, did he?
No, he did when he ran third. That was my point. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that, that in itself is bad. But I think if he had won this, he would have been in pretty strong shape. With Muskie fading and with
but he's definitely in.
Oh, sure. And he'll, God, I don't think you could drag him out. He'd still be in if he had 5 millimeters at the convention. But there's one interesting thing about Humphrey. This gives him all year to be before the American people, acting hyperactive as he is, and, looking, taking all sides of all, not bussing flip-flop with it.
Yeah.
It's a stupid thing for him.
Yeah,
the only thing I worry about Humphrey, Mr. President, is what I mentioned this morning, that turn out the solid Democratic vote by promising everybody everything.
And he'd do it.
And he would do it, and his rhetoric would get very harsh. He'd make the great call for all old time's sake, for all loyal Democrats to come forward now. I mean, he would draw more of a vote than some of the others.
But he, this time, could be torn into.
Well, he'd hurt himself, too. You know, that Harris poll that said that people have the image of him being a nice fellow, but the politics of the past and the trial heat with Harris's trial heat with you and Humphrey, you win the 18 to 21 year old vote. I think he'd turn off a hell of a lot of.
He wouldn't pick up the young.
No, he would not. He'd get the Jews, he'd get the blacks, he'd get the.
But all the Jews who were, he'd get virtually all the blacks, a lot of poor, and a lot of. What the, beyond that, into the
Catholic. Well, we'd not hell on it with the Catholics. I think that would, to me, be the pivotal.
So?
Yes, sir. I think that would be the pivotal voting block. Because on the busing issue, first of all, your Catholic constituency is a white ethnic, rising middle class. Former Democrats, suburbanites, still Democrats in name, probably. They just won't vote. They won't go for him. That issue alone could be just driven home.
I think it was terrible for the leader to know.
There you go. Sure. And what we would do is something that I've got in the works now, which is a front group of Catholics who are for. For example, aid to parochial schools, Catholics opposed to abortion, and just develop, as we are doing, mailing lists of Catholics in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Northern California. And you just send out from this front group, it is an exit group, it's just saying, we're interested in the issue of abortion, and we think you ought to know where the candidates stand. Here's what Nixon says, here's what Humphrey says. Or aid to education, just murder, that kind of thing, really, and busing. That kind of an appeal, he'd have a hell of a time, but I think. Well, anyway, Market gave us a good shot today, didn't it?
I was sort of amused. I was glad to see you. It's about where we wanted it. I wanted to go over 1,000 by November.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to do it before that, according to.
So?
Yes, sir. According to. Almost everybody I talk to,
they seem bullish right at the moment.
Yes, sir. And the economic news is all good. We're going to get a temporary setback on Friday on unemployment, I'm sorry to tell you.
Okay.
Well, it's 1/2 to 5.9. March.
That's hard to figure.
No, it isn't. The March figure, we take the worst seasonal adjustment break in March of the year next to October. In October gives us the worst seasonal adjustment break. The next worst is March. And I can demonstrate to you how that happened. It's unbelievable. Well, we changed it to the extent that we could at the beginning of the year. And if we had gone any further...
What would they play? A massive increase?
No, they're not going to be able to, Mr. President, for this reason, that the total number of jobs increased last month by 600,000, which is probably the biggest... I haven't traced it, but the biggest...
What happened? The total number of people in the job force increased
by 740,000. Which is, again, although I haven't established it yet.
We'll get a break.
Yes. Yeah, and we'll get a very big break in June. Then the game is to hold it in July and August and get a little break in September. And we'll break the computers in October. Not anymore, and the interesting thing is that in these figures, the married males figure, which is the lowest it's been in this administration, stays the same as last month at 2.8%. The total increases in adult women, which is probably part-time workers, you have the average for the first quarter now being 5.8%, which is not bad. We have total net employment up 600,000. I think they'll have to play it as jobless rate rises, but employment increases 600,000. That's a lot of people. We're going to have Herb Stein take care of that. And
we'll start with the picture.
Well, you can talk about, of course, almost 1 million new jobs in the first of the year.
I still don't trust these figures.
Well, I don't either. Well, they could be a hell of a lot more cooperative than they are. And I must say, when you see a month where the total workforce increases by 740,000, almost 1% of the total workforce in the country in 1 month, you have to figure that the census figures weren't accurate. If you had decent statisticians over there, I think they go back to census and say, your figures are off. You can't have that much of an increase in them. Seasonally adjusted. No question about it. The time we have to watch them, and I've got some ideas in this respect that I... take up with Schultz. The time we have to watch them is from June on. That's when they can play games with us. And
leave the guy out now, then.
Well, he's been for that for a long time. He's a jackass of a fellow. He goes up on the hill before the proxy market. He makes good news sound bad. Bad news sound worse. He's just a weak system. No, there isn't right now, but I'll talk to Schultz about this. Hodgson called me tonight. He said I'm just done. He said,
because you insured unemployment.
Every month for 5 months. And he said,
Help wanted ads is on
up. Yes, the index is rising substantially. Work week
has
been good. Well, the only way you can figure this one is that, they take a statistical survey. It's like a poll of 30,000 people. Says 50,000, whatever the number is. And you can get pretty wide swings in the workforce. And that's where they've always been able to. Every time we've had a bad break, it's because the workforce has gone up to an inordinate amount. This can play all right. Herb is good at handling this, and then we're using Lena Whitman to talk about the wholesale prices. We don't have that figure, but we know the food price component is down, thank goodness. And that's the one that's the moment of argument. Oh, I think we can Yeah, and I want to get her out around going to supermarkets and doing some of the things that we're... I think she's a more saleable personality than Virginia Nauer.
Yeah, but she's well,
tries awful hard, but...
But she, this is smarter.
Smarter, and she knows how to handle herself beautifully, and she's an attractive woman. She has that little bit of verve that
right.
will make her valuable to us. But we'll launch her on that, and then we're going to have her every month handle the food price issue, so we'll get her kind of out front of
what's the deal on the hearings tomorrow? Do we know?
Well, we'll know probably, Mr. President, around 11 o'clock where we stand. I just came from a meeting with McGregor, Mitchell, Poindexter, Marty, Pat Gray, and Wally Johnson, and Mariana. Well, the Republicans are in good shape. They're holding firm. To my shock, however, John Mitchell indicated he wasn't now too sure how Eastland was. I thought we had him locked up, but he has, from the beginning of this damn thing, as you know, flipped all over the place. What Mitchell is afraid he will do is in the morning say, well, I don't want to filibuster. I don't want to try to push this to a vote today. If Kennedy and Tony want to talk, we'll let them talk. And we'll come back next Tuesday and settlement. And Mitchell's task and finding is to work on him. Meanwhile, Clark has been, and Wally Johnson have been working the Republican side, and I think their feeling is that we can hold our fellows in line, that they're prepared to stay in there tomorrow and just fight it hard. The key is, of course, we can't pull it off without Eastland approved. We just don't have the votes.
I don't.
Oh, I think from the beginning he played games with him. And the thing of prime importance is whatever they come out of there with tomorrow morning, our guys, you know, we've already talked to Scott and Ruska, have got to head right for the cameras. And no matter what the outcome, well, if we close the hearing, they say it's a vindication.
But if they don't.
They don't, by God, they're continuing this inquisition. And this is a political inquisition. And a filibuster. It's being perpetrated for political purposes.
Right.
Just raise hell so that at least our story tomorrow night will be positive.
Right.
Henry Cashin reports to me from Philadelphia that the Cardinal is considering declaring a holiday in the Catholic schools on Friday in honor of the fact that you're coming up tomorrow. And I asked Henry the question you asked me this morning. Henry was with us. I said, do you think the Cardinal is with us politically? And he said, I don't think there's the slightest doubt. He said, I've been just listening to him for an hour, talking about the President, his character, and his strength, and integrity, and his belief in moral values. He said, he brags about how often he's met with him and how cordial they've been. Henry feels, certainly Crowell indicated that to me, that he very much, wants to see you remain as President. Crowell also told Cashin that Rizzo is with us politically, which of course we know, but I think it's very significant that Rizzo obviously told that to Crowell.
Right.
Which kind of helps lock it in. He'll feel important tomorrow. But.
Well,
okay. We'll push hard in the morning, Mr. President, see if we can get these hearings over.
I think it'll work.
We'll try. We'll stay with it.